This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 12, 2020. Easter Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Thou hast caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth trembled and was still. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those words are from Psalm 76. They are the offertory for today. Thou hast caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth trembled and was still. And interesting that on Easter, the offertory is about God's judgment. That whole psalm is a praise to God. It praises the God who saves. It praises the God who judges. He does both of those things sometimes simultaneously. He saves and he judges. He saves us by his judgment. A lot of people don't like the judgment homilies. Not around here so much. A lot of people who visit, they don't like the judgment homilies. They don't like the fire and brimstone-y stuff. They would have liked to listen to Jesus because he talked about the fire and brimstone-y stuff significantly more times than he talked about heaven. It is something we should hear more than regularly because our Lord Jesus Christ communicated it to us more often than not. But judgment, when you look at it, we have this connotation immediately that judgment is something negative. Judging me means that I did something wrong. That's not judgment. Judgment is not always negative. Did not God the Father speak from heaven at our Lord's baptism and at the Transfiguration? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He's judging his Son to be perfect and in whom he is well pleased. He's judging him. You take a test in school and you get 100 on it. That's a judgment of how you performed on the test. You got a perfect score. It's a judgment. You fail, different story. Okay, so judgment isn't positive or negative. It is just evaluating. This is why it's at Easter. Because our Lord Jesus Christ was judged to be perfect. He was judged to be perfect in his obedience to God's will. His leaving heaven and coming down and living in this place, in his earthly ministry, in his temptations, in his passion, and in his death. And because of that obedience, God gave him a name which is above every name. I want to stop a little footnote on that. Because of his obedience, his obedience to death, even the death of the cross. Obedience, just like judgment, is not defined correctly. You know, here judgment, it's negative. No, it's not. Equally positive. It depends on what's being judged, who's being judged. Obedience is misinterpreted as doing what you're supposed to do when higher authorities say that, when you agree with them. During this time, I personally have been tempted tremendously to be disobedient. Obedience is not agreeing with something. That's agreeing with something. If your boss is always telling you what you want to hear, he tells you basically you can do whatever you want to do, that's not obedience. That's agreeing. Obedience is doing what you're told to do when you may not agree with it. You may know. Notice I didn't say think. You may know that you're right. But guess what? He's the boss. I was confronted with this time after time in my old vocation. Someone would come up and, that's not going to work. That doesn't work. Well, you're going to do it anyway. Or you're not going to do something that you know does work. Guess what? You did what he said, even when you knew. Because it's kind of nice to be able to look at people. This is kind of sinful, I guess, but to look at people and told you so. But you be obedient. Our Lord Jesus Christ was obedient when it cost him so, so very dearly. Our Lord Jesus Christ endured the manifestation of God's judgment against sin. He was sinless. He took our sins upon himself and suffered and died on the cross because of it. St. Robert Bellarmine, speaking about this particular psalm, he says, God's example of his wrath upon the Assyrians, he passes to anger of the same judge on the day of general judgment. St. Robert Bellarmine is putting us in context of this psalm that speaks of God's judgment being heard from heaven, the earth trembling and being still. The context is ancient Israel is beset by their Assyrian enemies, and God executes his judgment upon them, and the people of Israel are saved. St. Robert Bellarmine says we need to take that historic example and apply it to our current situation and also the final judgment of all things. God's wrath upon the Assyrians, he passes to the anger of the same judge, the same yesterday, today, and forever, on the day of the general judgment. God is judging us. And I don't mean what's going on. I mean every single day. Every single moment of every single day, God is judging you as to whether or not you are living in accord with his will, if you are being obedient to his will. This is God. We learn things, you know. God's judgment, I learn how far short I've fallen, or I've learned that I'm doing pretty good in this area. Could be either. But when we see God's judgment, we also learn about God. It's part of the revelation that he gives us of himself. We have, as God's people, if you're paying attention and if you know the scriptures, as is so imperative, you have long known and you understand the effects of God's indignation. And when we read the passages and we hear from history and we do look at this current situation of God's chastisement and refinement upon us, it elicits dejection and fear across the board. The believer and the unbeliever, those are two effects of God's judgment that the Holy Spirit tells us in Scripture. The earth trembled and was still. When you are confronted with God's judgment, you fold. Everybody. Good and bad. Verse 8 of that psalm. Who shall stand against you? No one can stand against him. Saint or sinner. The earth trembled and was still. Everyone trembles at God's judgment and they are still. What's that still part have to do with it? The resurrection story is got a prime example of that. Who is generally the ones who execute God's judgment in this world? His holy angels. When angels show up, it doesn't matter what your standing is with God, you tremble with fear and you are still. What is that stillness? Just not standing there gawking? They fall on their face before holy angels because the holy angels are so close to God that when they present themselves, it is as if God's judgment is present before you. At the resurrection, an angel comes down from heaven and he rolls the stone away and he is joined by a companion angel. And you see the reaction across the board, trembling and stillness. Both the pagans, the Roman soldiers, and the women who see these men in white glistening robes. It is how the angel addresses them, how God's judgment is applied. Notice the angel doesn't say, "Hey, everybody, we're angels. We're here to talk about the resurrected Lord. Everybody, we're good." No. The Romans lay on the ground as if they were dead, and the angels don't say a thing to them. "You just sit there and eat dirt, Roman." But to the women who come to the tomb, it's, "Fear not. He is risen as he said." This is where we start to see the differentiation in this judgment. For some, it is negative. For some, it will be positive. The situation in which we find ourselves. I've said this is a time of testing. And I said the other day in a homily, there are a lot of people who are tremendously lacking during this test. Their priorities are skewed. They are more concerned with their temporal well-being than they are with their spiritual well-being. I hope you don't think any less of me when I say this. I don't think that you will. I hope you don't think any less of me when I say I do care tremendously about your temporal well-being. But it is a very, very distant second to what I care about your spiritual well-being. This is should be the approach of everyone who wears a collar. Yeah, worry about their health as much as you can, but first and foremost, it must be an emphasis on their spiritual well-being. And if you know our Lord Jesus Christ, if you are in union with him, if you know his word, and you know, as I said, we have known all along, if you know the scriptures, that judgment is part of God's being. It started with Adam and Eve. It continued with his people. And it continues to this day. And it will continue until the very last judgment in which the world is overwhelmed by his judgment. And then there is that final last judgment of us before that great white throne, so to speak. We approach God's judgment differently if we're in union with him. St. Jerome says, and put it in the context of what I'm saying about people's priorities, about the temporal and the spiritual. St. Jerome says, "Thus, when we have to face the hard and cruel necessity of death, we are comforted by the consolation that we shall shortly see again those whose absence we now mourn." I have said a couple times through this whole endeavor that a year, 2 years from now, a couple centuries from now, that's how the Black Plague worked. It hit, killed 2/3 of the people in Europe. And it went away for a while and came back. It went away for a while and it came back for 300 years. Okay? This isn't going away. It's now a new part of God's creation, and we must deal with it. But we deal with it differently than they do. We should not be petrified of it, because although death is cruel and necessary as a result of the original sin and actual sins that we incur in this world, we have to appreciate the fact that this hard and cruel necessity of death is just put in abeyance. If you don't get this and die, there are myriad other ways that you are eventually going to. You're just putting this in abeyance. We have to have that in the forefront of our minds. The Catholic life is preparation for death, whatever it may come. People gain support from us when we prove to them that we care more about our spiritual well-being than we do our temporal. Early Church Father Theodoret says, "I have found support in those who are caring nothing for this life, but await the enjoyment of everlasting blessings." St. Paul tells us to live as Christ, to die as gain. It's good if you continue to live. It's good if you get sick and you get better. To live is Christ. That means you get to stay here and you get to worship Him on this side of the veil. You get to advance His kingdom. To live is Christ. But to die is gain. It's better for us. We learn these priorities. We learn them and we apply them by living. And they said, a lot of folks are falling short. They're showing where their true priorities lie. Our Lord Jesus Christ endured, was tempted in every way we are, yet did not sin. He never went through a virus. No, he had to look at the cross coming at him. There's a very good possibility that even if you get this, you know, like in the high 90 percentiles, you're not going to die. Many have. Let's not belittle this fact. But the vast majority who get it don't. And the vast majority of people on this planet have not been infected yet. Or they've been infected and have not even noticed. Okay? We've got to appreciate that. Our Lord Jesus Christ faced a sure death, as we all will. Unless you die instantly, which is somewhat rare. Very rarely is it just over in a blink. You want to pray that you be delivered from that. We as Catholics should disdain. This is where the priorities have always been there, the lack of priorities, I should say, because I hear a lot of Catholics go, I just want to die in my sleep. I don't want. That's a horrendous thing for the Catholic to desire. We, throughout the tradition of our church and litanies, have prayed that from an unattended and sudden death, good Lord, deliver us. We want to know it's coming so we can prepare ourselves the best we possibly can. Our Lord Jesus Christ faced it when he knew it was coming, and he faced it without saying a word. Another early church father, Cassiodorus, says, when Christ was judged, he bore everything in silence. He bore everything in silence. He did not complain when the Father did not take that chalice from him. He did not, and he could have come down from the cross after he asked the Father why he had forsaken him. He endured it in the silence of obedience to his Father's will. This same Jesus Christ who suffered judgment by man in silence, he's going to be the one who judges us at that last moment. And at the last judgment too, Cassiodorus says, he will pronounce all things without anger. We are not judged in God's anger. We are just evaluated. And then he reacts accordingly. No one goes to hell because God is punishing them for what they did. You go to hell because you didn't live in accord with God's will in this world. He doesn't cast you into hell. You get what you wanted all along. He doesn't have to. You wanted to be separated from him. You did not want to conform to his will. You wanted nothing to have to do with him in this world. It's just going to continue on for all eternity. That is hell. This is what we have to appreciate and understand. Again, God doesn't judge in wrath. He just evaluates how we've lived and what we've demonstrated, what we wanted. This is the beauty of this day. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to judge us, if we are in union with him, he is our friend. He is our brother. A glorious thing to be judged by your brother, as opposed to those who are going to be judged by him who have been his enemies. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.